Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
God bless you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, because you are gaining the steps of men and women tonight. And we thank you, Lord, for those that you have ordained tonight for a mighty move of the Spirit. And we give you glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise God forevermore. Today is the third day of our Greater Works Conference, wherever you are connecting from, wherever maybe you are connecting from another country or from another city apart from Lagos, you are welcome in the name of Jesus Christ. And I do believe that God has been blessing us in very unusual ways. And tonight, we want to draw the curtain on the Greater Works Conference, and this is going to be the last for the year. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's amazing, you know, the kind of testimony that I'm trying to comfort. It just shows that there's no distance in the realm of the Spirit. And by venture and journey for the first time, don't worry, God still has something for you. The scripture tells us in the book of John, I believe chapter 7, he said, on that third and final day, Jesus cried out and said, if there's any man that is thirsty, if Jesus had to cry out on the last day, on the third day, that means that he was trying to bring the attention of men to the provisions of heaven. You are not here on the first day, you are not here on the second day, but Jesus cries out. And he said, look, there's something for you tonight. Hallelujah. And there's no distance in the realm of the Spirit. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. You're blessed and you are welcome in Jesus' name. I pray that your ears are sanctified and I pray that your heart is blessed, as this world will be coming forth in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. So I want to, take a short dive into this message that I've titled God's Battle Axe. This is the Greater Works Conference, and this is probably like the best way to call it a day. From next week, we're going to be back to our regular services, Wednesdays and Fridays. But I feel strongly impressed in my spirit to take a swipe at this particular message, and I'm titled it God's Battle Axe. And I want to read from the book of John, chapter 15, and I will start from verse 16. John chapter 15, and I will start from verse 16. Our Lord Jesus said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I have appointed and placed and purposefully planted you, so that you will go and bear fruit and keep on bearing, and that your fruit will remain and be lasting, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, as my representative, he will give to you. That's from the Amplified Version. A simpler version you may want to consider is, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and have appointed you so that you would go and bear, and that your fruit will remain. Praise God. That your fruit will remain, so that all you will ask my Father in my name, he will give to you. Now, this particular verse is an entire study on its own. But I do believe that the Lord will give us grace to be able to do some level of justice today. So please take your notes and take your pencils and take a few notes. Now, we are not live on Facebook this evening. There seems to be a challenge, but we are live on YouTube. So we are on YouTube, we are on Zoom, and we are also on Mixer. Praise God. So this is the first thing I want to bring to you here, and I want you to please pay attention. Our Lord Jesus is making some very strong and emphatic statements here. The first statement I want to bring is that no one is born into this world or born into God's family that has not been chosen for a definite purpose, for a calling, or for a ministry. The moment a person comes into the world, there is an assignment that has been marked to that person's name. And please believe me, because all the devil tries to do is to help you become so busy that you lose sight of God's eternal counsels. Those things that form the conversation around your life before you were born. You are not born because your parent liked, your dad liked your mom and something. Maybe they got married and something. No. In fact, it is such a serious matter in that before God, there is no illegitimate child. There could be illegitimate parents, but there are no illegitimate children with God. So stop crying and weeping around and say, oh, I become, maybe because I don't know who my dad is, or maybe because my dad never cared. Just stop it right now. As far as God is concerned, there are no illegitimate children. Even if your mom was the seventh wife of your dad, there are no illegitimate children, praise God. As complicated as that may sound, I have to tell you that before you came into this world, a purpose has been assigned, a calling has been assigned, a ministry has been assigned. So that's the first thing. Number two, as strange as it might also sound, the Lord expects you and myself to be missionary minded. I know that today, if you go to church, you probably want to attend a church where they do a lot of singing and they make you happy and they maybe share something from the book of Psalms and all of that, and that's fine. But listen, the reason why we are called into the family of God is so that we might become soldiers. So we are sons, we are servants, and we are soldiers. So in the realm of the spirit, once you come to Christ, the first thing you lose is your gender. You lose your gender. God wants us to be missionary minded. He wants us to have that sense of calling, that sense of destiny, to be like Esther, where he says, I was born and preserved for such a time as this. And I'm going to show you why that is very important. This particular verse is loaded. I mean, if I just did a Bible study on this, I will be fine. The question is not even what I'm going to say tonight. The question is what you are going to do. If by adventure you are able to make a fresh decision to become deliberate in your work with God, to become deliberate in your ministry, to become deliberate in your assignment. The truth of the matter is that no matter how you like to see it, there are certain people that I cannot reach, that you'll be able to reach. There are certain people who wouldn't even want to hear my name. Like, they just hate me. But for some reason, they love you. So that means the assignment has been given to you for those people. And vice versa. We all went through certain, you know, things that we, situations, scenarios that we went through in our family growing up. You had a very painful upbringing, or maybe something happened to when you were in university. God factored everything so that you could be a merciful priest. You could be a merciful priest. If you lost your dad when you were very young, it is not so that you could cry and weep and beg for attention. I mean, I know somebody, a classmate, and every time something happens, she will begin to cry and say, oh, it's because my father died. I mean, we are talking about your assignment here. You didn't write your assignment. She said, oh, it's because my father died. And you just put everyone in a difficult position, like, what? this man died like 4 years ago, but she couldn't get over it. Now, the problem is that if you don't move on, and I know moving on can be very tough, but if you don't move on, you are going to stay in the past. And because God is never in the past, he's always moving. That means that if there are opportunities that have been marked to your name for today, the chances are above 50% that you are going to miss it. So you must have a missionary mindset. That thing you are going through is a message that God wants you to bear to the next generation. Number three, our desire to follow the Lord and to be useful in the kingdom did not originate with you or in your mind. You know, sometimes you just go to a new church. There are people that go to a church for the first time and say, oh, I would like to join a department in the church. But I would like to sing in the choir. They don't even know if maybe people are just beating themselves. They're just like, oh, I'd like to join the prayer department. And now the Lord is saying, based on this scripture, that you did not choose me. One of the elements that God executes when he chooses a man is that he gives that man corresponding desires. God executes his will by giving us corresponding desires. So, for instance, if God calls you to be a pastor, and you say, oh, I don't want to be a pastor. I don't want to be a pastor. I was just doing my thing. I was working in a bank, and then God called me. Yes, we've heard that one. But you love what you do. So you can't make it just quit lying and saying that, hey, I don't want to do this job. You don't want to do this job, but you like the job. You keep showing up every Sunday. You keep screaming. You keep enjoying the whatever it is you enjoy. Come on now, you have to be honest. So God will never call a man, even if that man did not start out loving what God wanted to do through his life, that he will give that man a love and a desire for that work. So what that tells us is that every time I'm in the house of God, every time I'm hanging around the things of God or places where Christians congregate, God wants me to know, he wants us to know, that those desires that are within us to be useful in his kingdom didn't start from our mind. It came from him. The scripture says to us, as Paul was teaching us and led by the Holy Spirit, that it is God that worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He worketh in us. So every time God will do something in the earth, he will first do the work first in your heart. He will put that thought in your mind. He will put that willingness in your heart. He will do that so that you will be able to rise above unnecessary sacrifice. Just like wanting to go to the movies. You want to go, if you want to go. If somebody doesn't want to go, they can stay, but you just want to go and you keep going. So because God has been giving a number of people ideas, he's been giving them a lot of thoughts. I want you to do this. But because they didn't hear voices, they thought it was just their mind. And God is saying, because I appointed you, I want you to know that those desires, okay, those desires didn't come from you. The other factor that will play out here to give it a proper balance is the factor of timing. There are certain things the Lord will enable you to do. They are just going to be temporary assignments. There are certain things that God will allow you and permit you to do. They are going to be full-blown ministry. Okay, and the other factor there is the factor of timing. Okay, nobody who answers the call of God is late to the party. I remember when I became a pastor, when I was going to become a pastor, I was concerned. One of my concerns is that I was coming into pastoring when everyone is tired of church. You know, people are tired of church. People don't even want to go nowhere. People are just... And then we started our first service, I think 11:30. People share the grace wherever they go to, and they're on their way home. And that's when we started service. And then the Lord helped us, and we started doing it much earlier. So I need you to understand that there's always a time factor, but that thing may be of the Lord, and I want you to consider it. Number five, or is it number four now? He didn't just choose us, he allocated specific ministries. When he said, you have not chosen me, I chose you, but you did not choose me, and I have appointed you. So, while you are doing that which is temporal, God wants us to begin to yearn for that which is permanent. Hallelujah. He said, he did not just choose us, but he allocated specific ministries. He allocated specific ministries to us. Now hear me. It is possible to be chosen. It is possible to be chosen, but not yet appointed. It is possible to be chosen and not yet appointed. When a man is chosen or is called to the ministry, the day of his release is the day of his appointment. That's when you get your letter. That's when you become authorized. That's when you receive mandate and dominion to stand in that calling. There are some of you that have been experiencing a lot of experience. You have experiences where you pray, when you see visions, you have all kind of stuff going on in your life. That could be a sign that He has chosen you for something great. But when you now get appointed, one of the things you will notice is that there will be an increase in the authority level that you are able to execute. So if before now, maybe the Lord is going to a healing ministry. Many of those that I know who are, not everybody, but quite a number of those I know who are in the healing ministry are people who have suffered a lot of pain in terms of sickness. Or they have had people suffer around them due to sickness and disease. So that pain opens them up in their spirit to that kind of calling. Because they are sympathetic, they are compassionate. The Lord will not give you an anointing in any area where you have no compassion. And please, I want you to please note this, because sometimes people spend their time praying instead of observing. It's good to pray, but you need to also observe what is going on around you. You will see certain triggers. You will begin to understand why your anointing is stronger in certain areas and why it is weaker in certain areas. This is very, very important. Because there are people that the anointing thrives in the place of intercession. If you are not interceding, that anointing doesn't flow. If people are thinking around you, it doesn't really do so much for you. But wherever people begin to pray, that may just be your thing. While others may find this situation, maybe, or this kind of experience in the place of worship. This is very important, and I want you to please pay attention, because some of these indications will probably be around you and you may not have observed them. So He allocates to us specific ministries. Now, there are other issues that border on this allocation that I want us to look at. There are many times you find that people are anointed, they are gifted in a particular way. They could be in a particular church, they could be serving, but the Lord will not release them. And I began to probe. Why would such a person, everybody knows he has a very peculiar anointing, or he has this very strong grace. And apart from the matter of timing, you know, there are other things that you need to look at that border on appointment. And one strong factor is that of faithfulness. And please, I want you to hear me very clearly. This issue of faithfulness is why many believers, many Christians, many children of God, they never move from one level into another. Because the matter of moving from one level to another, in terms of grace, in terms of authority, in terms of anointing, it borders on faithfulness. Faithfulness as determined by God. Not your pastor. Not your wife. Not your archbishop. By God. So under faithfulness, look at a number of issues. Number one, we consider faithfulness in serving other ministries or the church where you belong, or under the minister, the pastor that you serve. God will look at faithfulness in that aspect. Of course, that was a strong consideration for somebody like Elisha. It was a strong consideration for him to carry that inheritance, that double portion, what you popularly call that, you know, refer to as double portion. God looked at his commitment to that man. Elijah didn't have a church. So God would consider his faithfulness in that, to that man and to the anointing. So when others are speaking evil or speaking ill, what did Elisha do? Was Elisha only proud enough to identify with the successes of his pastor, or was he also kind enough to identify with the failures of his minister? Those are considerations. Okay, God will look at those things before He gives you an allocation. There's a particular minister somewhere in the US. He had divorced his wife in his former church, you know, and it raised such a big, you know, it was such a, you know, a scandal or so it seems, in that particular town. Then many years later, he moved, you know, to another city and he started another church. Then over the years, he started complaining and said, oh, the youths in this church, they are living in immorality, they are not serving God, they are not faithful. So he was talking about this to one of his friends who knew him in this new city. And that friend said, let's pray about it. And they decided to pray to God about it. And the Lord said, ask him about his marriage. The Lord said, ask him about his marriage. And he said, what is it about your marriage? He said, nothing. He said, no. The Lord said, I should ask about your marriage. Who is this person? He mentioned the wife's name. He said, oh, you know, I didn't tell you. I used to be married many years ago in my former town. And the Lord said, that's the reason why you are having the kind of members you are having. Because the anointing is flowing from the top. You know? So the issue of faithfulness is very, very important. How you leave a place matters. Not just even when it has to do with a minister, even in your office. Some people, when they know they are going to resign or leave a place, they start creating trouble, start throwing tantrum, they create problems, you know, so that people will know that, yes, all the things I couldn't do to my boss 5 years ago, I will do everything under 2 weeks, his head will scatter, you know, you want to punish him. So God is looking at those things. And they are, you know, he's marking this call. So even if you're, and this is the thing about faithfulness, if your boss or your pastor or your somebody you submit to, so it may not even be in the church, maybe elsewhere. If they think you are doing well and God thinks otherwise, that appointment will happen. It will happen. Okay, so that is the first I'll talk about under the subject of faithfulness. The second thing I want to raise here is faithfulness in specific instruction. Faithfulness in specific instruction. If the Lord says to you, my daughter, for the next 3 weeks, meet me here at 2 a.m. 2 a.m. Wake up 2 a.m. Believe me, from that day, your capacity to sleep very deeply would heighten. So, but God is not going to say, oh, because you fell like sleep. If the Lord said, meet me here 2 a.m., even if you came around 2 a.m. and he didn't speak to you, he expects you to be there and to stand by the duty post he has given to you. There are some of you that know that when you started praying at a particular time of the day or at a particular time of the night, certain evil occurrences began to move back from your family. Then, you know, you got busy with work and, you know, stuff started happening again. So you don't need to pray. You don't need to be asking God, why? Just go back to that thing that God asked you to do before now. People want to rationalize. People want to behave like, oh, they don't know why stuff is happening to them. Many people actually know. They are just trying to hope that maybe it's not the situation. So we are talking about faithfulness to personal instruction. If the Lord tells you, if the Lord tells you that your next month's salary, don't touch one cobble inside. My brother, I wish you strength. I will be praying for you, but you cannot escape it. I got to tell you this, like, it's serious. Now, you really don't want to be there. Like, sometimes when I have money, man, I'm really scared that God is just going to say, that thing, what's that in your hand there? Okay, drop it in the offering basket. Do you know that sometimes I thought that maybe that's why people don't bring money to church? Because God will just tell them, empty your pocket. The Lord has need of it. And he just, so you know, I mean, you came to church happy, you are living very sad. But it's part of the instructions, and he's watching. Oh boy! I remember when we were trying to get another car. So, you know, it's a old story. I mean, like, well, so I sold my car, and so I was coming back from the office. I was on the Third Milan Bridge, and then the Lord started to speak very softly. You know, there's this way he talks; it's very soft. But you know he's the one. He said, that money, He said that money, you know, I just thought like, oh, you know, this thing that people talk about, like, oh, God has them to sow everything in their account, like, oh, no, maybe it's because that's what I'm thinking. So I increased the volume of the secular, you know, the secular song playing over there. So I said, this one should be able to silence the voice of God. So I increased it. My brother, God will connect it to. Some of you, you are even owing God plenty things. You know, the list is very long. So I mean, like the thing just, you know, it went, the voice went down. And as I parked the car, the thing said, that money, bring it to me. You know, it was very clear, but it was in my mind, like, oh my God, this can't be God. The only thing I couldn't do was to bind the voice, but, you know, somewhere in my mind was there. Then I spoke to my wife, like, I'm having this thing, it's like something's happening to me. I'm having this feeling like we should not buy this car, we should give the money. My wife just asked me, so when do you want to give it? I say, this is the devil. I'm expecting you to tell me, like, oh, have you prayed about it? You need to hear God. She didn't even buy it. She just said, so when are you dropping the money? I said, so that's how I became a careless brother. You know, I moved from having a car to, you know, becoming careless. You know, so that. But I gave it. And this is the thing about obeying God in that aspect. The moment you give it, you are no more at that level. You've gone higher. There's nothing they mentioned that issue of 400,000, 700,000. You have been promoted. You are no more at that level. God will ensure that kind of amount is never a boss to you again. And I'm not joking. And you should try it. You will cry for a few days, but you'll be fine. Obedience to personal instruction. If God tells you that particular person down your street, be giving that transport fare or whatever it is, it may not be comfortable. But God will evaluate your faithfulness based on how you respond. You know, the thing is, when God speaks to you, you are the only one who knows. He speaks to your heart. You hear it in your mind. But he knows that he spoke to you, and you know he has spoken to you. So when you see God elevate people sometimes, you need to be looking for where are the areas this person has been faithful. People don't think about it. Look at someone like Bishop David Abue, Winners Chapel. There is no glory that man could have gotten that would have been more than what he's experiencing today if he had decided to go out and start his own church. But God called him to be a number two. And can I tell you, God calls some people to be number two. He calls even some people to be number three. He calls even some people to be number 10. Just stay in your lane. Faithfulness in personal instruction. Number three, faithfulness to Him. Personal faithfulness to the Lord. This one has to do with your relationship with Him. Personal faithfulness to His word. To God. Where your relationship with God becomes very personal. There are certain things you may be able to do and get away with, but because of your relationship with God, like, no. So it is that faithfulness that makes you, like, pray every morning. Like, you want to spend time with him, just believe, like, oh, this is a relationship. We need to do certain things to get this relationship going. And this is, I mean, you have to schedule it. You know, like Pastor Chris Akinome said. He said, if you don't plan to pray, you will never pray. If you don't plan to pray, you will not pray. If you don't plan to study the Word of God, you will not be able to study the Word of God. I mean, yesterday, we came here for this conference, and you met the prophet. Now you are meeting the pastor. So you've got to, you know, take the blend of these two. You have to plan to pray. If you know that your job involves you getting to the office like 5:30 a.m., so take your Bible, and when you get to the office, take your Bible. Don't use your phone, because you will start checking Facebook. Have a small Bible somewhere that you can read, okay? That you can read and study the Word of God. God looks at our personal faithfulness level. He looks at how we relate with Him when others are not there. There are people that come to church and they are just speaking in very, you know, high tongues and psychedelic tongues. But when they are praying, they are quiet, but it's just yet, rakabaya. And they are quiet for 5 minutes, then another rakabaya. You know, and then their mind travels far to that girl that they wanted to propose to, you know, and now they are going to see it. Then they do another rakabaya. And then they say, thank you, Father, because you have heard us. You know, and then people think they've been praying for 20 minutes. The guy has only offered four syllables. This is a disaster. I'm telling you. So God looks at all those things. Are you serving me because you want to use my name to blow? And which is what seems to be around us now, you know, especially among pastors and music ministers are the worst in that category. You know, because nobody thinks you are serving God or doing well until everybody knows your name. Meanwhile, God never evaluates the faithfulness of a man's ministry by his popularity. God never does it. So if you are there and you have been doing the will of God quietly, you've been ministering in your local assembly, you have been serving, and nobody sees it, I came to tell you that you are on the right path. And God will never evaluate a man's faithfulness based on his popularity. That's God for you. That's God for you. Jesus was not popular. If Jesus was popular, they would not have killed him. He was popular with those he blessed. But most people, the big wigs, the political guys, they didn't like him. It's not singing a song and everybody in the whole world knows that makes, you know, that tells us or lets us know that God likes you. No. Because we need to even take the song and look at it and then explain the song. And then you find out maybe even the song has very little scriptural content. Or even the preaching. You know, so these are very serious matters. God wants us to be faithful to him. Peradventure, I do not allow you, I do not permit you to leave the city of Lagos for the rest of your life. Peradventure, I keep you in Ibadan or in Akure or in Nasarawa, and I do not permit you to step out of that place for the rest of your life. Will I still be God? Will I still be that faithful God that you love? These are serious matters. Number four, faithfulness to his word. How do you interpret the word of God? Do you interpret the word of God the way you like, or the subjective meaning, or objectively? Okay, do you see the words of Jesus as instructions or as suggestions? These are things that God looked at. He said, to this man will I look, a man who is of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. That's Isaiah 66. God pays attention to our body language when the word of God is being preached. God pays attention to our body language when the word of God, you know, that's why in the Jewish days, when the word of God is being led, they stand up in the synagogue. They stand up. Some people are even so reckless, their best sleeping time is when the word of God is being preached, and they have no shame. They have no shame. Some of them will even come and tell you that, Pastor, why you are preaching, I had a dream. That dream is not from God. It is recklessness. It is recklessness. If you are tired, get up and walk around, then come back and sit down. God looks at all these things. Faithfulness to his word. How do we take the word of God? How do we embrace it as our life? Oh, the Lord, you went to prayer and the Lord told you certain things. Are you going to embrace it direct, like, oh my God, that this is the word of God? Or are you going to think, oh, maybe it's my mind? We must avoid this kind of recklessness. Now, the other point I want to share with you outside of faithfulness, this is another point now, I don't know which number this is that based on John chapter 15, number 16, our Lord Jesus told us that our work is to produce fruit. That what that means is that our lives should produce visible sons and daughters that heaven will be proud of. Now, when you look at that statement, it said fruit. That means that you are like a tree. Jesus, our Lord, just likened us to trees. That means what we are producing is coming out from within us. It's coming out from our DNA. It's coming out. That means if you are a prophetic intercessor and you lead somebody to Christ and you train that person must have a signature card of his trainer upon his life. If you attend a church that is prophetic and you still don't hear God, you don't hear God, you don't see visions, you don't even think maybe God speaks, then peradventure, there is something we need to recalibrate or reinstall the operating system inside your spirit. Because you must find the signature card of the parent tree. So when you lead somebody to Christ, you should be able to produce sons that God can be proud of. Go, Malika Badialasa. Listen to me, our fathers, many of them are getting older now. And you see all of them, they are still on the streets holding crusades, let's go out fishing, On the streets, talk about Bishop Oyedepo, Pastor Adeboye, talk about Bishop Dageomi, talk about Benny. Some of these guys are on the streets. So we can't have anything different from theirs. God wants us to produce visible fruit, because through ministry, God expects genuine ministry to flow out of our lives. God doesn't want our ministry to be separate from it. And that's why sometimes we could be eating like food, and somebody is here talking to you and say, oh, I have this problem. And you begin to prophesy and tell the person is the problem. But you have a big bowl of, you know, whatever in front of you, and you are eating, and you know, sometimes I don't know how this thing works. Like, sometimes you can't hear God. All of a sudden, you are just literally hearing everything. So the anointing is not separate from you. The scripture says you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. There's an anointing within, and there is an anointing that is upon you. The anointing within you is for your relationship with God. The anointing upon you is for your service, is for your ministry. He said, for you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Then you can be my witnesses. Many are trying to use the anointing within to do ministry. You will burn out. The anointing within is to manage your relationship with God. It is to live a spirit-controlled life. The anointing that is upon you is to cast out devils and get the job done. Hallelujah. So God wants our giftings and our abilities to be strengthened through a healthy relationship with Him. It's not enough to be a prophet. It's not enough to be able to speak in tongues and interpret. Let all of that flow out of your relationship, a healthy relationship with the Lord. Finally, on that verse is, the Lord expects our fruits to remain. He expects that those people who are a direct product of our assignment, of our ministry, he expects them to also grow up and also begin to replicate. What I'm telling you here, what I just read to you here, is the scorecard. When you die and you see Jesus, this is the scorecard that will be used to assess you. This does not mean that you will not get to heaven. You may get your name is in. Once you believe in Jesus Christ, the gate of heaven will open. But I'm talking about your reward. I like the way Pastor Kojimani put it. He put it this way. He said, our calling is by grace, not of works. But if you ever have any plans to fulfill that calling, it will be by works. Oh my God. That made such a very powerful impression upon me. And let me repeat. He said, our calling is by grace. And the scripture tells us that we have been called by grace and not by works. He said, but if you have any intention of fulfilling that calling that you got by grace, it will be by works. That's why we pray at night. That's why we have fellowship with our brethren. That's why even when it's not convenient for us, we still go to church. I used to train for 2 hours to attend church as a young boy after I became a Christian. But we have believers today who say they can't go to church because they are tired. Okay, so was it a separate Holy Spirit I received? I was just a boy, about 11 years. And I trekked 2 hours. But nobody in my family was going to even encourage me to do nothing. You understand? But I didn't die. My legs became stronger. You understand what I'm saying? And I'll buy a cane, something called a cane, sugar cane. And I will eat it on my way back so that I won't go and collapse on the main road. But these are serious matters. These are serious matters. So some of those excuses are just for us. And as we bring this conference to a close, I want to leave you with this charge. Because the moment Jesus stretched out this thing in front of us, he ended that verse by saying, and I want you to look at that verse again. He ended that verse by saying that your fruit should remain and be lasting, so that you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will do for you, he will give to you. Can you see that there's a direct relationship between getting 100% answer to your prayers and fulfilling this verse? Yeah, this is a very serious matter. Because sometimes we are praying and we think God doesn't want to really answer us. And God is saying, look, you have not even fulfilled half the conditions for me to listen to you. God is saying, look, that if you understand your calling and you begin to execute it, you begin to stretch your relationship with me, you become faithful in your assignment and your relationship to me, that there is nothing to ask and we don't do. So this is a serious matter, and we'll probably need to come back and look at this one, because it's another message on its own. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, the reason why we are touching on that last part of that verse is because in the process of executing the will of God, in the process of executing the mandate of God, we are going to face contention. We are going to face opposition. We are going to come in contact with oppression and opposition by evil spirits. We will find that we are dealing with stuff. You may be healing the sick outside, and you may be battling with your own health. You may be doing wonders out there for the Lord, and your child may be acting up. You may just find that you are having to deal with it. And that is why God said, in the process of doing your assignment, there will be a strong requirement for a prayer life. And then that takes us to Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 20, which is the title of this message. Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 20. This is John chapter 15, verse 16, but in the Old Testament. It says, but you are my battle axe and weapons of war, and with you, and I'm talking about you that listening now, with you I will break in pieces the nation, and with you I will destroy kingdoms. So you find that the reason why God needs to get us into alignment is because of nations, is because of tribes, is because of kingdoms. There are kingdoms where he needs to send many of us to. And the only reason why he can't do it is not because of Satan. It's because we have not seen it yet. He said, you are my battle axe. And with you, with what I will do with your life, I will open the doors of Iran. I will open the doors of Iraq. I will open the doors of Syria, Lord. I will send you as a medical missionary, as a psychologist, as a sociologist. I'm going to send you as a nurse. I'm going to send you as a communication expert. I'm going to send you into places, into tribes, like the police force. I'm going to send you to tribes, like the banking industry. I will break in pieces those nations. I will open up those systems so that the Spirit of God can begin to gain ascendancy there. You may find yourself in that office and you're asking God, I am not supposed to be here. What am I doing here? This is the reason why you are sent there. Because you are a battle axe. You know what a battle axe is? It's a weapon that you can flick across, and it will get the job done before the person gets there. For those who are very proficient in the use of the axe, they don't even use any other thing. Listen to me. Jesus said, and he taught us, our Lord just said, he said, as many of you that believe in me, he said, the works that I do, he said, you will do also. He said, even yes, greater works than this. Oh my God. So this greater works conference is about getting you fired up so that you can begin to come into divine reality. Do you know, should I explain to you how I started operating in the gift of healing? It didn't start out as a gift. It started as a desire. And the first person I prayed for, I was lucky, the person felt better. I even tried it on myself, and I got better. After sometimes, I prayed for myself, and I got worse. Now, every time you find that you are in that situation, where it seems what you did yesterday is no more working, it means it's time to climb to a higher mountain. How did I start hearing God's voice? I just could not imagine being a Christian and not knowing the voice of God. That was all. And then I prioritized it. The only intention was not even to be a pastor. It was just that every time I sat in the church or in the fellowship and I heard somebody say, this is what the Holy Spirit is, I'm like, wow. How did these guys do this? I wanted to know what that voice felt like. I wanted to hear it by myself. But you see, it is God that puts that desire in us so that we can begin to seek him. Because when he puts you in a marriage, when he sends you to a nation, when he sends you to an industry, you must be razor sharp in your hearing. You must be razor sharp in your vision so that you can hit the target one and get the job done. Praise God. You can get the job done. He says, you are my battle axe. And in case you are thinking that you are not perfect enough, you have already been chosen. Hallelujah. They have already been chosen. Maybe there are people listening right now
And I say, but God, how can I, you know, how can I really just begin to hear you? It starts with a strong desire. It starts with a strong desire. Then it proceeds to sitting with the word of God and getting the rhema of his word. And then over time, you will notice that your desires have shifted. And then I notice that people who want to be proficient in the things of the Spirit, they must serve other people. They must serve other people. So if you want to hear God, you don't sit in your room alone. After you've prayed and you've studied the word of God, go out and help people. If you see they have a policy, let us pray together. Peradventure, the Lord may say something. He may say something that he may not, but just go ahead and do it. One day the Lord will open, will honor your faith. And the moment your ear pops open, there's no closing back anymore. Hallelujah. You've got to serve others. Don't just wait for stuff to happen to you. It may never happen. You've got to put yourself in the right place. Go and serve others with that gift. He said, you are my battle axe. You are the one I want to send to this nation. There are people listening to me now. They don't have an international passport. But the Lord wants to send them to Canada in the next 5 years. They don't have a passport. The only thing is that they've had a dream before. And I'm speaking specifically about somebody who is in this meeting now. You just had this dream some time ago and you found yourself in Canada. That was all. That was all. But you don't even have a passport. You are not even thinking about it now. But the heavens have already decreed that in 5 years you will find yourself there. Don't despise this thing. Go out and serve others. Go out. I've gone to meetings to preach and I found it extremely easier to even prophesy to people who are serving in the church than those who are not. God always seems to have a word for his children who are faithful to his service. And I want to bring that to you. And it's a thing of personal commitment. Nobody will tell you thank you for serving God. But I can tell you it comes with a lot of perks. It comes with a lot of perks. About 2 weeks ago, about a week ago, I was coming with my wife from the airport. And the policeman stopped us in the middle of the night. You know, very late at night. And he asked us to park. Maybe he liked the car or something, I don't know. Then he said, what do you do? And I said, I'm a pastor. The guy says, who is a pastor? I just gave him my ID card. And if you're a pastor, so what? I said, I'll give him my ID card and go in. Because all of a sudden, he realized that this one will not give you price. You are just wasting your time. You know? So well, that is the way it is. Service is the key to becoming relevant in God's plan. You will need to start by faith, first of all. But then God will now rest upon it and he will begin to announce you. Staying in your room will never cut it. It will never cut it. And I'm telling you from experience, it will never cut it. Because every time God is moving, that means it is time to serve others. Every time God is moving, it is time to be a blessing to others. And God will not come down physically. He will have to send somebody like you to those people who are waiting and say, God, if you can just send Peter, if Peter could just send, just place his shadow around us. You know, do you know how beautiful it is when somebody calls you and says, oh, you know, you blessed me, you ministered to me, oh, this is what's happening in my life. There's no greater joy than that. To be able to be a blessing to somebody without money. And I'm telling you that you have that blessing in your life right now. You have that gift in your life right now. Some of those battles that many of you are fighting, this is what they are using against you because they know you are floating. You are not serving God in any tangible way. Praise God. He said, you are my battle axe. He said, you are my weapons of war. And with you, I will break in pieces. Listen to me. Jesus said, greater things than this will we do. I don't know who the Lord has sent me to tonight. But that job that is sucking out the energy out of you, that job that the enemy is using to drain you out spiritually. Today, we abort every satanic program that is coming through your job. Because many really have the desire, but they get home, they are very tired, they are messed up, they can't even deal, you know. But I speak peace to your job now. I speak peace to your home now. And I speak the mercy of God all around you. You will not be burned out every time you get home again. You will not be burned out. The Lord will be your strength. He will strengthen you with strength from your inner man. And you will be able to see clearly that which the Lord will have you do. Even in that bus, on that bus that you are going to take while going home tonight. They are my weapons of war. God is interested in nations. God is interested in men who will go out and organize outreaches. God is interested in women who will go out and organize crusades. And look at that. This girl is so beautiful and she's actually preaching the gospel. Praise God. Wow. I mean, you're supposed to be some slave queen on Instagram, but you are here and you are talking about Jesus. I want to follow you. I want to know that Jesus. Praise God. And can I have your number too? You know, people, there is something beautiful about people who serve God when they could have been doing other things. And believe me, you won't know half of it until you start. Let me read Isaiah chapter 41, verse 15 and 16. He said, behold, and this is a prophecy, Isaiah 41, 15 and 16, verse 15 and 16. Behold, I will make you a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. That means you are going to have impact. And you are going to thresh the mountains. And you are going to beat them small. When you see opposition, whether in your personal life or in your ministry, you are going to beat them down. He said, I'm not going to take away the mountain. I'm going to allow you to bring the mountain down. Oh, praise God. I wish somebody heard that one now. I wish somebody heard that one. He said, I'm not going to take away the mountain. I'm going to allow you to bring that mountain down. Our Lord Jesus taught us, and he said, if there's whatever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and it shall be yours. See, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, lift yourself up and be thrown into the sea, and it will obey you. But that is because you're in the service of God. That is because you now see your life beyond you. You see your life beyond marriage. You see your life beyond having children. You see your life beyond running away from Nigeria. You see your life beyond everything that people consider to be the true definition of fulfillment. You see your life as having only one agenda, only one goal. Father, I have just one life to live. I don't know how many more years I have, but I want this life to count for souls. I want this life to count for impact in the kingdom. I want this life to be used up and burnt out for you. I want this life to be not just a candle, but a sun, a shining sun that brings the revelation of Jesus to my world. The moment you make Christ your only agenda on earth, every other thing, the Lord will not withhold anything from such people. I tell you. He said, I will with you, I will change the mountains, and I will beat them small, and make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the wind shall scatter them, and thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and you shall glory in the Holy One of Israel. This is a testimony. This is a testimony. That as you, look at this scripture, Isaiah chapter 41, verse 15. The moment you allow God make you an instrument in his hand, this is what he's saying to us. This is a promise to you. This is a promise to you. He said, you will end your life rejoicing, and you shall glory in the Holy One of Israel. Look at Isaiah chapter 13 and verse 5. He said, behold, they shall come from a far country and from the ends of the heavens, even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. Praise God. So there are lands in Nigeria, there are places in Nigeria that are still given over to idol worship. There are territories, there are families, there are places you go to, you can literally sense the presence of evil. But God is saying, look, he said, we will come from a far country, from the ends of the heavens, even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation. Who are the weapons of his indignation? That is you, my friend. That is you listening to me. When the Lord visits the town, everywhere you go, the Lord has sent you there. Somebody was asking, Evangelist T.L. Osborne. He said, how do I know where I need to go on the crusade? Osborne just said to him, don't you get religious? I mean, that's a religious spirit. Everywhere you see people, that is where the Lord is sending you. Everywhere you see a man, that is where the Lord is sending you. Everywhere you see a woman, that is where the Lord is sending you. You sit under a tree and somebody comes to you and says, can I have something to drink? That is an opportunity. You are the weapons of his indignation. You are the weapon of his indignation. And God wants you to leave this conference knowing that as you give yourself to his service, then you have insured your life. You have insured your family. You have insured your ministry. You have insured your destiny. Because according to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, the word of God is very clear. They seek first the kingdom of God and its expansion. And every other thing that men are dying for shall be given to you cheaply. That is the word of the Lord unto you. That means that God does not even want you to struggle. God does not want you to be bothered about what people are pursuing, running up and down like unbelievers. In fact, God sees those who pursue earthly things as Gentiles. God said, look, give yourself to my service. In that small corner you are, you can lead souls to Christ. Do you go to many churches today? Where are the people in churches? They are not there because the source of light are the ones killing the fire. The source of light are the ones killing the fire. But where are the souls? No souls, no fresh souls, no Nobody is coming and saying, oh, I gave my life to Christ last week. But these are the things God wants to hear. These are the things that God, and listen to me, as we leave this conference tonight, I want you to leave with fresh fire. I want you to don't start with something so humongous. Tell God, I'm going to start with a soul. I'm going to start with two souls every week. As you share the gospel with them, you hand them over to your church and tell them to do the follow-up. And you go back out there again and you share the gospel. There are many going to hell every day. And I mean, for no reason. Simply because we didn't tell them. And God is saying, look, if you commit yourself to my word and commit yourself to my instruction, he said, I will glorify you. And you will not be few. I will honor you. And you shall not be scattered. Listen to me. As we draw this conference, we close this weekend. I leave you with this chance to become useful wherever you find yourself in the service of God. Believe me, God is not just interested in using that pastor. He also wants to use you. And you don't know how much power you have on your inside until you are filled with opposition, because the anointing will always rise to the level of the crisis. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you for these past 3 days of divine encounter. And Lord, we ask that these words will go into the hearts of men, as many as you have ordained for tonight, to step out there and begin to heal the sick, to step out there and begin to teach the word, to step out there and begin to encourage people. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that that anointing will rest upon you. There is somebody, there are 3 people there who are saying, God, if you can just use me and open my ears, and open my ears to discern your voice. Right now, as you are listening to me, a burning sensation will begin to come upon your heart. A burning sensation will begin to rest upon you. Those category of people, I see the number moving to 5. Now, those categories of people in this particular call, the hand of the Lord will rest upon your heart, and you will begin to sense a burning sensation, and you will sense it also in your ears. And after now, you will begin to perceive and discern accurately the voice of the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, there's a particular lady in this meeting, and you have a growth in a very unusual place. You have a growth in your body in a very unusual place. But as I'm speaking to you now, the hand of the Lord is going in that direction. And that growth is going to shrink completely. That lady listening, wherever you are, hear the voice of the Lord and be healed. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody out there, you just got an information that your mom is sick. Now, I bring you a word of healing concerning your mom. In the name of Jesus Christ, now your mom is healed. She's going to sleep tonight, and she's going to wake up, and she's going to feel stronger. In the name of Jesus Christ, thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Last night, some of us, quite a number of us, had a lot of encounters. And I'm sure some of you had dreams. Praise God. If you had a dream, just post something. I've gotten a number of calls. You know, some of us had encounters. You had very powerful dreams last night. And please, maybe you need to call me and let's talk about it. But listen to me. The breakthrough has started. And you are free. And you are coming into a new day. Because Jesus says so. And listen to me. You're not going to lose your miracle this time. You're not going to lose your miracle this time. This time your testimony is going to be permanent. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. There's a particular woman in this meeting, and you are beat on the elderly side. The Lord said, I should tell you that I've perfected all that concerns your children. The Lord said, I've perfected everything that concerns your children. And that before the next, shortly from now, there are going to be sounds of rejoicing concerning your children, concerning 2 of them. There are going to be sounds of rejoicing. I speak concerning an elderly woman somewhere in this meeting. Well, I don't know where you're. Maybe on Zoom or Mixella or somewhere. But the Lord said, I should speak that word to you. He said, I've heard your cry concerning your children. He said, I'm very soon. 2 of them, you are going to receive powerful good news concerning them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Rekatesia. Balikadosia. The Lord said, look, that as you are now, that what you have started yesterday is going to continue tonight with a good number of us. And that you should not lose sight of your deliverance. The Lord said, do not see what happened last night as a program. See it as a programming. The Lord said, because he's still coming back to visit some of you. And that he will bring you bigger instructions. Some of you had visions, some of you had dreams. If you had an experience, please, just type yes. I really want to know the people I'm talking to, because the Lord said he's coming back to, there are certain things you saw, and he wants to show you the other part of that transaction. So listen to me. We are not playing games here. The Lord is visiting people. The Lord is touching people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I commend it to the hands of God. And I declare from today, the same fire that came upon Paul, the same power that came upon Bunky, the same power that came upon Iggy, that same anointing that has flowed from Pentecost up to this day is going to find men tonight that the Lord can recruit. Men for Jesus. Men that will go to nations. Men that will turn their world upside down. Men that will go all out. Women that will go all out. Children that will go all out for the kingdom. Wherever you are, the Lord is sending you. And the Lord will use your hands to bring healing. I see a particular lady in this place. And I see the Lord using you to minister to people that are depressed and people who are on wheelchairs. So wherever you are right now, that particular lady, you are going to feel a warm sensation in your hands now. And the Lord said, every time you feel that sensation, that the anointing is there to minister. So I see you ministering to people emotional issues. I see you ministering to people particularly who are having bone problems and on wheelchairs. And the Lord said, I've anointed you in this regard to be able to minister to people that have this condition. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. The Lord said he's doing something new and that revival is in the air. The Lord said there's revival in the air. There's going to be a spirit of seeking the Lord that is coming afresh upon Nigeria and is going to go even to other countries. That men and women will begin to seek the Lord in a new way. And the Lord said we must join this chariot. The Lord said we must embrace this chariot. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.